Thanks for joining us. Week two of our Advent series, A Very Different Kind of Christmas. And I hope that as you're joining us today, if you haven't had a chance to see week one yet, then please do catch up at some point. Last week we did look at Elizabeth and Zechariah, the parents of John the Baptist. And we looked at how God was still at work, even in their sense of loss at what hadn't happened to them, and moved them to that place of life, a new beginning for them, as they were used by God for his purposes at that particular time. Now this week I want to look at the life of Joseph and the very different kind of Christmas that he had, and how Joseph was moved from that place of fear to a place of freedom. And how being set free to be used by God makes such a difference, not only to his life, but also to ours as well. Now, we used to be afraid of spiders, perhaps some of you still are, but I think during this time of lockdown and the COVID restrictions, we've all become aware that there's other things that have caused us to be a little bit more fearful, things that are having a huge impact on our everyday life, and they all seem to have come at once. Our routines have been broken. Things that we just did because we always did them suddenly have taken a turn for something different. We used to get up and shower and go to work and get the kids in and sort the lunch out and sort the tea out. We used to know what was happening. In fact, we did those sorts of things on autopilot. But now it seems we have to think about what happens every day. How many people are we meeting with? Have we got our masks with us? What's it going to be like going to the shops? Our routines have changed and that affects our life significantly. Our relationships have become disconnected as well. We haven't been able to see the same people in the same way as we used to. And we've missed it. We've missed sitting in the same room together, singing together, playing together, going to groups together, whatever it's been. We've suddenly been disconnected from many, many people. We've also had this return to normal. Some of you have been going back to work, kids have been going back to school, there's been an element of normality get back in, but we're fearing because we're not sure how safe it's going to be or what it's going to be like, or we're certain that things are going to be different, but we don't quite know how. And then we've also had these restricted opportunities to sort of de-stress, if you like. Swimming pools shut, gyms shut, libraries shut, groups closed down that we used to belong to that used to give us some sort of measure of health. And so all those things have come together, the perfect storm, if you like, and we're filled with some fear and anxiety that we perhaps didn't experience at quite the same level as we are now. And fear becomes crippling, it becomes debilitating, it's exhausting to work it all out at this time. Fear is real, not to be taken lightly. The factors that are causing our fears at the moment may not go away for some time, but fear can be addressed in the light of faith. And the good news of Jesus is that he came to bring freedom to the prisoner, to the oppressed, to the fearful, to enable us to move from that place of fear into the freedom he longs for us. But how can we do that? Well, this morning I want us to look at this incident with Joseph before Jesus was born. And I want us to learn three lessons from how we too could move from fear to freedom. If you've got your Bibles and you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to hand over to Kerry, who's going to read from verse 18 for us this morning.
Today's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
So as we heard that story of Joseph, we'll see that the perfect storm hit him as well in that moment. His routine was broken. What he thought was going to be happening, suddenly plans that he made were all going to be changed. His relationship with Mary was about to be disconnected. What he'd loved and enjoyed for all that time suddenly seemed as if it was all going to end in this moment. Life was going to take a change. He was going to have to get back to some normality without Mary, without his plans. But what on earth was that going to look like? And he was also going to have to face the stress of telling everybody about it and explaining what had happened. But in that story that Kerry read for us, you'll see that something very different happened to him in those few verses that we read. And I think we can learn about facing our fears and the different kind of response that we can make as well. So the first thing I want to say this morning is, when we're facing a fear, press the pause button. Now, when we feel threatened in a dangerous or frightening situation, there are three responses that we tend to make. We fight it, we flight from it, run away from it, or we freeze. Face it, run away from it, or do nothing. Now, just some advice this morning. If you're in an immediate danger, please do run. Don't freeze, unless the danger can outrun you, in which case you're going to have to stay and fight it. Now, in our passage that Kerry read for us, Joseph notices that Mary's pregnant. Now, all credit to him, of course, because men don't normally notice when things change like that. But he notices, and he knows he had nothing to do with it. The Bible has a very gentle way of telling us that in verse 18, before they came together. This isn't his. Now, in Jewish culture, a pledge to be married, a betrothal, was the same as being married. So for Joseph to find this out in that moment was shocking to him. Not only to him, of course, but also for Mary's reputation as well. Now, Joseph knew what he should do in that moment. He was faithful to the law. He knew what the routine response was: divorce, shame her. But he decided to press the pause button, even though he was fearful for himself, for Mary, and the consequences of this moment. He could, and some would say he should, have acted immediately. But in verse 19, we read, he did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace. So he decided to pause. In fact, verse 20 says, he went to sleep. When life is crashing in on you, when something devastating happens that allows fear to overwhelm you, I believe God has something to say to you. Before you make any more plans, before you speak or shout or swear, press the pause button when something comes out of the blue into your life that causes you to fear. God wants you to respond in a different way, in a wise way. Now, in James chapter 1, verse 5, the writer says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, and it will be given to you. Wow, if any of you lacks wisdom in a situation, you don't know how to handle it, ask God, and he will give it to you. And what does this wisdom look like? James chapter 3, and verse 17, he helpfully tells us, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. If something happens that causes you to fear, you haven't got a clue what to do next, press the pause button, ask for wisdom, and this wisdom that comes from heaven will be peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, and you'll be able to deal with the situation. Joseph did that. In verse 20 it says he considered what his response was going to be, and he listened to God's voice until it became the loudest voice in his head. Press the pause button. Secondly, connect to the bigger story. After he paused, verse 20 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and the angel connected Joseph to God's vision of what could be. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid, verse 20 says. And that phrase tells the whole story for us. Joseph, son of David. See, the angel connected Joseph to his past, to his history, his story, and also brought him into the future. Now, Matthew, in the first 17 verses of chapter 1, if you take a look at that, he provides us with the connection that Joseph could make as well. This is where Joseph came from. This is the story he's part of. This is how God has set up this moment. And Joseph, now it's your turn to play your part in it. Those verses in Matthew 1, 1 to 17 are the names of people who have played their part in this story. Perhaps at times they were totally unaware of what would happen, feeling totally inadequate to be part of this story, fearful in the moments that they had to face, yet confident to believe, God, no matter how difficult this is, I will do what you call me to do. I can't see your purposes right now, but I will do what you ask. I'll be part of your bigger story. And Matthew 1 verse 2 takes us all the way back to Abraham, right at the beginning of this story. The promise God gave to Abraham when he set out in obedience to God's voice, as Hebrews 11 verse 8 says, not knowing where he was going, not knowing that it would all culminate in the coming of Jesus. And the promise was this, Genesis 12 verse 2. God says to Abraham, just before he sets out, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. And boy, did his obedience lead to a great blessing, because it led us to Jesus. And now Joseph is invited to connect to God's bigger story and be part of it. Do not be afraid. You're part of something much bigger. He may not have totally understood what was happening, but as he reached back to the past, it meant he could stretch forward into the future. When you're fearful, God invites you to connect to his bigger story, to remember what you are part of. We follow all those who have gone before us, and we owe it to future generations to play our part now. Whoever we are, whatever our doubts, whatever our story, we're part of God's bigger story. And if you take a moment to read through some of the names in this genealogy of Jesus, you will find some very interesting people. Jacob, who deceived his father Isaac. Tamar, who deceived her father-in-law and had his children. Ruth, a Moabite. Rahab, a prostitute. David, who committed adultery and had Uriah killed so he could marry Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. And Matthew comments in verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. Wow. This story from the past leading up to this moment for Joseph connecting into the bigger story, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. You see, here's the good news. God deals with actual people, not ideal people. He uses messed up people to fulfill his mighty purposes. This is the wonder of his grace that we get to be part of as well. When you are fearful, connect to God's bigger story, a story that goes back through generations and a story that will continue through generations to come. He has plans for you in this moment to use you for his purposes. This is how you will move from fear to freedom. Your life can be very different if you will join the bigger story and know that you're part of what God is planning. So press the pause button. Remember you're part of God's bigger story, and then do what God asks. See, obedience is our response. The outcome is God's responsibility. Matthew 1 verse 20. Joseph, don't be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph, I just want you to do this thing for me, because this is part of the bigger story. This is about Jesus. He hasn't come to save you from the Romans. He hasn't come to save you from exile or from oppression or from embarrassment or anything else that you're feeling right now. He has come to save people from their sins. See, your fear is of what is happening outside you is not as important as the fear of what is happening inside you. Don't be anxious about what you can't control, pandemics and presidents and politics. Jesus has come to set you free from the sin that so easily entangles you. Joseph, do what God asks and you will find freedom. Even though it seems crazy right now, do what God asks. Tim, do what God asks and you'll find freedom and forgiveness and a future, because Jesus has come. And Matthew connects us back to the prophet Isaiah in verse 22 and 23, so that when Joseph wakes up in verse 24, this is what Matthew says. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife, and he gave his son the name Jesus. He did what God asked him to do, moving away from fear to freedom, finding the freedom to do what God asked. He was going to do what the law required at the beginning of this story, what he'd been brought up believing he needed to do. But now he was involved in God's bigger purposes and plans, and his fear turned to freedom. He was going to have a very different kind of Christmas. Do you have any fears? Feeling crushed by the things that are going on right now? Wondering where God is in it all? Wondering if he could possibly use you? That carol we love says, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee, in you, Jesus, right now." He came to save his people, to set them free from their sins. Forgiveness transforms fear into freedom as we join God in what he's going to be doing. Yeah, we're going to share communion this morning. It's an act of remembering, it's an act of thanksgiving, it's an act of anticipating as well. We're going to pause to remember Jesus, his life, his death on a cross, his sacrifice for us. We're going to give thanks that in that moment of death, he fulfilled his name. He came to offer forgiveness for sins, the things that separate us from enjoying God's power and his presence. He will save his people from their sins. He will turn fear into freedom. And we will anticipate the fulfillment of that promise, that he will come again and we will be set free. We are scattered today, but we are not alone. We gather around the same table, connected to one another, different people, messed up people who are connected to this shared bigger story we can be part of today. God doesn't use ideal people. He uses actual people, people like you and me. And he invites us to come around the table and to remember and to give thanks for all he's done.